Hi guys, at the time of recording this podcast, there were no reports of widespread job losses across Australia, New Zealand, or in fact the world. Unfortunately, things have changed rapidly in the days since, and this is no longer the case. We apologise if our comments appear misinformed or insensitive to those affected. All three of us would like to offer our support to anyone who's been impacted by the effects of COVID-19. For help via our network, please contact us on LinkedIn. We will get through this.
Welcome to Tarpod, the podcast for everything talent acquisition and recruitment. We're informative, controversial, and a little bit crazy. Now please join your hosts and industry leaders, Lauren Sharp and Craig Watson.
Support for this podcast is provided by Alchemy Interactive, the next generation in one-way digital video interviewing.
See your candidates eye to eye before you meet them face to face.
I like that line. Alchemy Interactive enables you to promote your employment brand in the candidate market, ensuring candidates remember you, your culture, and diversity.
Positively impact your screening efforts with a direct ROI by contacting Alchemy today. Visit alchemy.com. That's alchemy.com. We help you pinpoint top talent faster.
Woo! Hi everyone, welcome to Tarpod. I'm Craig.
And I'm Lauren. And today we have dialing in from his luxurious office from home in his pyjama uniform is the wonderful Eden Haddock, talent manager at Flybys and Queen of Talent.
Welcome.
Hello,
Eden.
Thank you. And I do feel like the Queen of Talent in my newly set up office space in the spare room. I had to shift out the king size bed that was in here and I had to get a desk and get it all set up. So,
yeah, we're in a
unusual time.
Isn't it?
We are.
Well, yeah. I must say, I tried working from home yesterday and I have to be on the dining room table. And pure and utter freaking chaos. I got about half the amount of work I'd normally get done, and I cracked it and I was in the office today, but I'm the only one in the office, so I'm still in isolation.
Yeah, look, it's unusual. For people like us, I think any recruiter out there, we tend to be extroverted and we tend to draw our energy from the people that we talk to. And
that's
I think it's a big adjustment for us all. I'm not saying that I feel it's a negative. I think we're all learning from it and we're all doing the best that we can. But times have changed, at least temporarily anyway.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that also it's opening some employers' eyes a little bit to the opportunity to have remote workers as part of their workforce on a permanent basis and not just temporarily while this is happening. And I think that that's also going to open up a lot of part-time talent on the work-from-home mums. You're going to have a lot of remote people who are in country towns and chosen a different lifestyle, perhaps still being able to get those roles that are usually confined to big cities.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think I'm hope it is opening up opportunities for people that perhaps, you know, companies had been conservative and weren't looking at remote workforces. That would be a really great result for this scenario.
I think that's a fantastic result.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've got to look to the positives and we've got to look to what this change may bring to our industry and how it may impact the way we work, the way we operate. And you know, it's really easy to get caught up in, you know, in any change, to get caught up in the negative and to fear it. But I think we need to embrace it now because sounding like we're in it for the long haul.
So a really important question, actually, I want to ask you while you're working at home, are pyjamas or tracksuit pants?
Oh, no, neither. And you know what? I have been making the effort every morning to get up and to shower and to wear exactly what I would wear to work. So I really want to make sure that I am feeling as if I'm arriving at work every day and that I still have that. Yeah, I think it's important because I think that arriving at work and arriving home from work is kind of that third zone to me where I am able to switch off from work life to home life. And I think it's important that we all make sure that we maintain that because, you don't want to be working 24/7. We know the importance of being able to switch off and to look after ourselves. And that is a dangerous habit to fall into.
I must say, I did spend all day in my activewear.
Yeah, well, look, That's okay. Look, you know what? The last organisation I worked with, AIA, we had Active Wear Fridays, where we were actually wear our active wear to work because we were very big on health and wellbeing and lifestyle. So that's okay. That's you just being active. That's different. Pajamas, I'm a bit funny about. I don't know about pajamas. I don't think I could spend a day.
Andrew's the pajama girl.
Oh, that's all right. But she did say that was over the weekend, so anyway, that's all right.
And what changes are you seeing there, Eden, in, you know, from the way you're working at Flybys or have been working, just over the last week or 2 weeks, you know, major changes that to your day apart from being confined?
Yeah, look, I think I've been really fortunate and I'm kind of celebrating the fact that I put so much effort into digitalising our end-to-end candidate experience right through to onboarding. Where things are different for all of us is that we can't have any face-to-face interactions. So it's always been a big, and you know, I've talked about this with you guys in the past, and I've talked about it a number of times on the stage, and aligning our candidate experience with our customer experience. Our customer experience is 100% digital for our Flybys members, where there was the unique scenario for the talent team, for myself and Yash, my team, is that we had the opportunity to have face-to-face interactions with those members or with those customers or potential customers. We don't have that anymore. So really, I've just got to think about making sure that our experience is 100% aligned to our customer experience now. There is actually no difference.
So with your candidate experience, because you'd done so much work prior to this unexpected confinement, obviously you were prepared, but unbeknownst to you, you were prepared for
this.
So if you weren't so digital and you hadn't done so much work in your candidate experience already, what sort of different picture do you think this would be painting right now for your applicants at Flybys?
Look, I think it would be really tough. If I look back at, you know, prior to moving into the digital environment that I am, prior to bringing on, you know, HR on board is a really great example where, you know, signing an employment contract is one touch and it's something that is very, very easy for our candidates and for our, you know, soon-to-be employees. But there are still organisations, and we were in that boat before we digitalised our experience, where people need to scan contracts back.
Sure.
How the hell are you going to find a scanner? You know, if people don't have DocuSign in place or they don't have the likes of Patreon on board or on board, it's challenging. If they shut down the libraries, you don't even have that option. Wow. So I think some of the late adopters to technology potentially will be struggling at the moment, and it's hard to know what the answer to that will be. You know, are we going to go back to mailing contracts? Are we, you know, are those people, as they work through, I guess, finding a way to digitise, are they going to have to really step right back into, you know, 10 years ago or more? I'm sure there are corners within our industry where people are really having to make those tough decisions at the moment and work out what they're going to do for next stages.
Yeah. Like following the chats on the ARIA 100 as well, obviously there's a lot of people going through recruitment freezes, are slowing down recruitment.
Dear.
And I've been wondering, I haven't really expressed my opinions on it. I'm just listening a lot at the moment. Like, are these freezes an economic response, or is this purely out of we just don't know how to bloody well do it if we're not face to face with someone?
Yeah, I think it's possibly, from my perspective, it's possibly a combination of the two. I think the point I raised earlier is that at the moment people need to work through what their strategy is before they can move forward. I'm hoping that it's not economic, but I think that could be, I mean, you know, if we're looking at retailers and things like that are really going to slow down, or the service industry, then they're probably not going to be hiring people, and they've probably made a call to say, you know what,
we can only have 100 people. Yeah, retail right now. Tuesday, 10:30 in the morning, I was in Bourke Street Mall, and I was the only person standing in Bourke Street Mall at 10:30 on Tuesday morning.
And yet if you go to your local Coles or Woolies, it's never ever been busier.
Absolutely. Look, thankfully I ordered a Coles online delivery about a week ago. I didn't think it would arrive, and it arrived last night. I've been trying to toilet paper for over a week. So I'm like, thank God I've got toilet paper. And then you feel really greedy because you know that some people don't have it. Well, I'm not good enough to get myself through a few weeks now. But, I've been, you know, and that's just buying a packet.
Mm.
You're not one of the hoarders, are you?
Oh, God, no.
I know you're not.
Still doing my normal weekly shop, picking up a few things on after gym. But the toilet paper has been the only thing I've had the issue with. But, yeah, absolutely. I've been sneaky on how I've got that one.
Oh, okay.
I sent my pensioner father in for the pensioner hour to go and get me duty paper.
Oh, you know what?
Turned my father into a bog roll mule.
I thought you were going to tell me you had kind of pinched it from an office building or something along those lines. No, I don't think you need to feel guilty there at all. I think that's perfectly fine.
He's got plenty and I sent him in to get me some because I've tried going in at the opening times and the closest I've got is three people in front of me, then they ran out. So my dad has come to my rescue as dads do.
Yeah.
Go for it, mate.
Sorry, I'm. This is that the joys of doing things remotely as well. I keep talking over you.
Yeah. Now, look, I was going to change it up and say, let's talk about. For a moment, let's pretend this is not happening. Let's talk about what we originally organised to talk to you about a week and a half ago, which is getting back to some really exciting things that have been happening in your candidate experience piece. So what's been happening? So like I said, let's pretend that we're not in this bad, bad, crazy world and let's go and talk about candidate experience and what you're doing at Flybys.
Absolutely. And yeah, for sure. It's exactly what we were planning on talking about. And I was challenged actually by my leader, Fiona, in terms of, and as you guys know, I've been really focused on candidate experience over the last 12 months as we've set everything up for Flybys and that alignment with our customer experience. She kind of set me a challenge to think a little bit more commercially and how, I guess, our data asset in talent, how that would impact our customer engagement, potentially driving new membership into the Flybys program, but also lifting that engagement in the program. So that was a bit of a challenge she set to me. And what I really thought deeply about that is that I kind of do have a responsibility not only to Flybys, but to Flybys members and Flybys partners. So if I was to provide a candidate experience, and we all know that, and I've heard your previous podcast with some dreadful experience that our community have been going through when they've been applying for roles, if people go through an application with Flybys and receive a bad experience, not only does that impact their engagement in the Flybys program, but it will impact them shopping at Coles, it would impact them shopping at Target or Kmart. Yep. Or their health insurance with HCF. So I've got a bit of an obligation to our partners as well as Flybys to make sure that people are walking away and they're feeling good about Flybys because we're connected to those other businesses too. And that's something that I don't think I'd really given a lot of thought to. I knew it's important. I've always known it's important to provide a good experience because it will impact your brand. I think we all know that. But it's the flow-on effects of what that experience is. So if I can nail it in a positive way and actually lift the brand's advocacy for Flybys, but also for our partners, it's really thinking more commercially. And being a business like Flybys where, you know, members that are interacting with us, we actually have the insights in terms of, you know, their spends or how much more they're putting in their baskets or, you know, as we're rolling out campaigns, is that lifting their brand awareness to, you know, it could be Cadbury or whatever it might be. You know, that's what we do as an organisation. So I had to really think about, well, how can I get people more engaged in the program outside of just giving them a good experience? So we have launched the Points for Candidates campaign. Ooh. You still have your round of applause button. Hit it now.
You know him so well.
I know you guys. So see, I'm a regular listener. I know you very well. this is really great. And I think this is really unique. I spoke at RecFest and I talked about how important it is to be grateful for talent that are actually taking that time out of their day to come and meet with an organisation it's the most important thing that you'll do that day, that week, arguably that month. You know, it's a big deal changing roles and applying for a role, and we need to be grateful that people have actually chosen us as an organisation to work for. They could work for anyone.
General sense too, we've got to remember that people applying for our jobs don't do this every day, as you just said, and it's a nerve-wracking experience for them. To us, this is a day-to-day thing. We speak to these types of people all the time, so we can do it in our sleep. So just remember to handle those people with that little bit of care, and that their time is important. It's a very good place to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I looked at what our processes were in terms of, you know, through our Live Hire platform and the communications that we're sending. And we were constantly driving people to make sure that they're doing research, follow us on LinkedIn, look at our webpage, all of that sort of stuff that we all do with our candidates as they're coming through to interview. And my thought around it was, you know what, if I want to be grateful to them and I want to thank them, and I was thinking about all the different things. KeepCup was the one that I was moving forward with. And I just sort of thought, you know what, why don't I just reward them with Flybys points? That's getting them into the program. They're doing their research as they're being rewarded. And, you know, it just really gives them that hands-on understanding of what we do. It's a great way to prepare for a new organization that you're potentially joining, because you are having the customer experience straight up. But primarily the reason I'm doing it is because I'm thankful. I mean, if they were to receive their 5,000 points, and as they do, they are directed through to our redemption page, it's $25, you know. They can
What is 5,000 points? And that's 25 bucks towards your groceries. It's 25 bucks towards so much.
Totally. Yep. Absolutely. Flybys, you can use your Flybys points to buy groceries. Absolutely. Mm. You can jump online and you can get movie vouchers. There's a lot you can buy for $25.
Oh, I know. I use mine for groceries, and because I totally forget about it. Next thing I know, I've got about $80 worth of Flybys points to spend on groceries.
And at what stage in the process are candidates made aware of the program?
Yeah, look, we tell them at the point of scheduling in their interview, so their interview confirmation, we request for their Flybys number if they would like to provide it. This is optional for them as well. We understand that not everyone would want to do that. We explain to them that we will be rewarding them. They'll be able to redeem that. So as they receive their interview confirmation, we get them all set up. Those points will arrive in their account post-interview, obviously, for them to be able to walk away and reward themselves, essentially, as a thank you.
That's great. Yeah. So I guess that some people might be listening to this podcast and going, well, it's an amazing initiative, but I work for Newcrest Mining. What am I going to give my people for coming in for an interview? So it's really just starting a conversation or a thought process for people internally to start looking at how they can reward people based on their own workplace.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, there are those scenarios, and I've thought of that. I know that, you know, I know a rideshare app that's exploring something similar to this at the moment.
Right.
If you're working for mining, if you're working for government, whatever it might be, education, it may be more difficult to identify how you can do that. But I think, you know, to reward and recognise people for taking the time to meet with you, it may not actually be, you know, you're not going to tell them, hey, we're going to send you down the mine and, you know, you'll enjoy that, there's your reward. But something that's aligned to your brand. You know, that in that case, it could be something where it is, you know, branded merchandise or something that...
Yeah.
Or it doesn't have to be. People are still going to enjoy receiving a movie voucher. I think it's just something for them to walk away and have a really good feeling about your brand. It's still important for Newcrest Mining, you mentioned, for people to have a good opinion of Newcrest when they walk away.
Yeah, of course.
Regardless of whether it's a customer channel or whatever.
And that is the essence of what drives this, right? Candidate experience is about providing the candidate the best experience during the process, whatever place they jump in and whatever place they come out of the process, engaging, making sure there's a positive feeling and that they're going away with no matter what the outcome.
Yeah, and it's really timely. I mean, I only launched this a few weeks ago, and now we're moving into this environment where we're not meeting people face to face. So it's another point of engagement. The fact that, you know, candidates are now having to adjust to being interviewed via video channels, via digital channels, this is another way of thanking them for their flexibility. It's a change for them as much as it is for us.
And
here you go, Craig. After you.
Thanks, Lauren. How do you measure the success of the program, or have you had any initial feedback from candidates at the moment?
Yeah, so far the feedback has been 100% thankful. Everyone was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And I'm actually amazed that, and I shouldn't be amazed considering we've got 8.5 million members, but amazed by how many people say, oh, my God, I love the Flybys program. Thanks so much. You know, looking forward to sending it, just like Lauren just said there, you know, redeeming it on my groceries or what have you.
Yeah.
In order to measure it, it's really interesting, and there'll be a lot of work around this in terms of how we actually introduce very different talent acquisition metrics that may flow out of this. Now, this is very experimental. You know, I'm trying this to see how it goes. But one of the things that I'm actually measuring at the moment is through those digital channels, as I mentioned, with Live Hire and the communications I send, I've got unique links for every time I redirect someone to LinkedIn or to one of our web pages to do research. And I'm measuring how much traffic we're driving through that process. In this particular case, I can actually potentially, and whether I look at that or not, but I think it's quite a powerful metric to be able to reflect back on it and say, oh, do you know what, since they actually came through a Flybys interview process and received points, has that impacted their engagement in the Flybys program? Are they now more engaged in the program or are we finding they're not scanning their card as much? And that's something that, you know, we'd be able to look at and potentially survey people to find out, you know, what could we improve on, or, you know, how did you feel about the interview process, you know, and it's giving us a bit of, you know, analytical insight in terms of their consumer behaviour and how the activities that I'm doing is driving that. So it's very unique, and I think, you know, that the potential there is huge. I'm not saying that I'm going to utilise an analytics function to gain insight into consumer behaviour, but there's something there that's worth exploring and something I'm looking at the moment.
Yeah, and it gives that ability to work even more cohesively with your marketing department.
Yeah, and you know what? People are signing up to become a member in order to receive their points, so I can very easily say, hey, yeah, I can, yeah, absolutely. So we ask for their member number, or we redirect them to join so they receive their points. I can very easily go back to our commercial team, to our leadership team, to say, do you know what, our candidate process has actually driven X amount of new members for the program. So it's really highly commercializing a data asset that no one really utilizes at all. It is a, you know, a applicant tracking system that, you know, we can drive new business and we can drive engagement through that. So it's really unique, and I really look forward to sharing, you know, it'll be 6 to 12 months, but sharing what the results of that could be. I'm quite excited about it. It can be a struggle for talent teams to be able to get investment because they are seen as operational, and we have that conversation a lot in our industry where people really struggle with that, and people struggle to get marketing support. They struggle to get investment in technology. If you're able to translate that in a way that potentially could be having, you know, a people and culture or a HR team that's driving revenue, I think it would significantly shift that mindset and really help people.
So I see that you are hiring and this hasn't slowed you down.
Not at all. So current situations, I mean, we've got very ambitious growth plans. There's a lot going on with Flybys where, you know, we have a new app coming, we've got a new website coming, we've had a complete technology transformation, we are really stepping up our digital audiences business around advertising, programmatic, so shifting into different ways of working, we've got our office move coming, where we're moving into a high-flex environment, we've got all sorts going on, we can't slow down. These could be challenging times for people as well, and organisations like Flybys or programs like Flybys really support people in their times of need. You know, we always find at Christmas that we receive amazing stories from our members in terms of them using their Flybys points to be able to buy their Christmas presents for their families or put the turkey on the table. And, you know, we don't know what's going to be happening economically, to your point earlier, Lauren. And I think, you know, we do really have to make sure that we continue operating and continue on our path regardless of how challenging the times are. And I have to say hats off to our technology team that we're operating exactly the same way as we are. They've done an outstanding job for us to be able to be an entire workforce at home at the moment and still delivering on our strategic goals. I'm absolutely blown away by how seamless it's been for us. It's been great. And I'm hearing great stories from a lot of people. People are doing wonderful things at the moment. I think we're all pulling together, and the talent acquisition industry, we're all supporting each other. I'm getting a lot of messages. I'm responding to a lot of people's comments on LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff. We're all pulling together really well. I think this has been a really great thing for our industry, and hope we continue to do so.
Yeah, I think you're right. And with the candidate experience program that you've just launched, and how you're probably proving that talent acquisition can add more value to a business, even commercially, you know, in addition to the human function, with people who may be listening who think, you know what, this is something that we would really love to try or get going in my own business, what would be the first port of call? Where do you need the support to come from? Is it CEO level? Is it you go to commercial team? Do you go to marketing team? Where would you, if someone didn't know where to go or where to start, what would you suggest?
Yeah, look, in my case, the first step for me is to have alignment, because if you're looking at customer experience and candidate experience, yeah, the first person to go to is your chief marketing officer.
Right.
Because they're all about customer experience. You know, if I look at Ro, who's our, she's our head of customer, the equivalent of a CMO in another organization. You know, her targets are around brand. It's around acquisition and driving new membership. It's about membership engagement. You know, those are her primary KPIs. So if I'm able to actually, and which I did, to be able to say to her, look, I'm looking at candidate experience, and my end goals are actually going to influence your end goals. You know, we've got similar KPIs. What I'm trying to work on is very similar to what you are working on. I think it's a really great point to start, but you need to get CEO endorsement for these kind of things. I did present to the leadership team. I had a short period of time to do so, and I talked a million miles an hour, and I had 1,000 slides. But anything that, you know, can drive brand advocacy that's outside of just employer brand advocacy, and I think your leadership team will get it. If they see the power of the work that you're doing in terms of increasing advocacy for your brand, no matter what your brand is, if it's Newcrest Mining, if it's Flybys, they'll get it. Yeah. And I think that, you know, thinking of the ideas that other organisations might have or other TA teams might have to get that endorsement and investment, it's just really tackling advocacy. That's what it's all about. And any person in a leadership position will get it.
You make it sound so easy.
Oh, no, not at all. Look, I know, and you know, sometimes I am in a progressive organisation where, you know, people, our CEO really gets talent and understands the value of what we do. You know, I've worked for large organisations in the past. I've worked in the education industry, which can be very, very conservative, and it's hard to do. So sometimes it's chipping away, you know. I'm in the luxury where I can be in an environment where I can experiment and try different things. But if you can't, I think it's just chipping away and trying little things and really breaking it down and building it up as much as you can. And you will eventually get there. Or perhaps you're not in the right environment if you are the creative person that wants to do it. You know, you just, yeah, it can be tough. And I'm mindful that, you know, sometimes I do talk about some of the things that we're doing, and other TA people are probably thinking, oh, do you know what, my CEO's never going to buy into that. And I think it's just something that you've got to just continue to work on.
Well, and for all the Flybys members out there, when can we expect this new app and website?
It's coming. It's coming very soon. I can't give you a specific date, but the teams are working around the clock. You'll see the new website in the next couple of months. So our team have done an outstanding job. I've seen, obviously, the demos, and I've seen that environment and the testing environment, and it's wonderful. So, yeah, keep your eye out. There's lots of exciting initiatives coming out of Flybys at the moment.
And you'll let us know just beforehand anyway. You'll give us the insight.
You know me. Just follow you. If you follow me on LinkedIn, you'll see everything that's going on at Flybys. I never stop talking about it. I'm every CEO's dream, you know.
That's it. A one-man marketing machine.
Exactly. Yeah.
So true.
It's interesting times, as we've been saying. I think, you know, one of the things that we all need to look at is, you know, as we're going through these interviews and we're operating in this digital environment, it's the questions around, will we continue this way? I was always really big, and moving into our new office and into an interview zone, and I've talked about, you know, music and coffee machines and all sorts of things that you guys have heard me talk about, and ideas that I've had that I really wanted to bring to life. But you know what? That may not happen. We may continue. We may all return to work, and, you know, 6 months from now.
I don't think we're going to. I think we will return to work, and we will return to the office. Things will change, and I think working from home will be a little bit more acceptable. Because at the cost of working from home, you do lose that element of culture. The experiment happened with Yahoo. then when they started that whole remote working around the whole of the United States, it didn't matter where you lived, and it really did show there was a lot loss of culture in the environment within the workplace, and there was a loss of that community feel. Everyone was an individual, and the team just suffered. So I cannot see it happening permanently. That's my opinion.
I think elements may. I think what's unusual with this is that it's been, to a degree, I know not 100%, but it's been forced upon us.
Yeah.
And I think we've all really focused on how can we maintain that connectivity, and, you know, how can we use our digital channels to make sure that we are continuing that culture and continuing to touch in with each other. I mean, we've been having all-star huddles where we're all in Microsoft Teams and we can see each other, and, you know, it's 150 people online and communicating and using chat and making sure that we're maintaining that. At the moment, we're doing that twice a week.
I think attitudes are definitely going to change towards it, but I really like my people contact. I need to be around people.
I reckon the only thing that's definite is that nothing's definite at the moment moving forward.
That's exactly it. And you know what? And I'm trying to take an open mind around it. Like, because I agree with you, Lauren. I miss being with my team member, Yash. I miss being able to bounce ideas off him, just, you know, turning my head. It's very different. I miss seeing everyone in the hallway. I miss grabbing my coffee with people. All of that, it's very different. And we're all, and I'll argue we're not all, but most of us are extroverts in talent. We draw our energy from each other.
Sure. But it's a people business, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. But will we identify... You know, if I'm looking at interviewing, and we're doing it all of that remotely now, and each of us are having to do that, will we look at that in a different light? Will we say, do you know what, the face-to-face interaction isn't the most important part of the decision-making? Can we make a decision without it? At the moment, as I said, we're forced to do that.
Yeah.
So is that going to make us look at our processes and go, do you know what, we probably don't have to do that? We'll get more comfortable being able to make hiring decisions without actually... seeing someone physically. Will adjust the way we actually assess talent through those, you know, digital environments. You know, we'll be looking for different triggers, you know, those things that you see in terms of mannerisms or, you know, eye contact and all of that sort of stuff that we look at face to face. Will we be just basically learning and growing and changing? I just want to keep open about it, because I think if we fear it, it's going to be really challenging for us.
It's going to be a very steep learning curve for a lot of people.
It is.
Especially line managers.
I was fascinated listening to Andrea's podcast with you guys. I'm so happy that you guys actually put that out yesterday, because the event environment and how we're learning from each other, you know, we attend those events for our own personal development, and to network and bringing that all online is very different. We all enjoy going to those events because we can have a glass of wine with each other, and we can bounce ideas off each other, and we can celebrate each other's achievements or help each other with struggles that they might have. And, you know, I'm glad Andrea is bringing that into a digital environment and really focusing on how we can maintain that. And that's, once again, that's our culture as an industry, not as an organisation, as an industry. How can we remain connected, and how can we make sure that we don't lose that? We've been forced into doing that, and I really think we're going to learn a lot from it.
I think it's a very much a watch this space scenario as it's changing from day to day at the moment. But, and speaking of changing, I need to get changed because I'm going out tonight, so we're going to have to just about finish.
Always when we get together, we never stop talking. So that's you know, typical of the three of us.
Isn't it? I know, right?
Yeah. This has been so awesome. I really want to thank you guys for continuing the podcast.
Thank you.
As I said, I listened yesterday as I was doing my work. I had it on here in my spare room, and it just made me feel connected to the industry in a time where a lot of us could feel isolated. So I think, you know, hats off to you guys. Press the applause button now. There you go.
Thanks, Ian. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. It was great fun, and thanks for catching up.
No worries. And hopefully next time I see you in person.
I know. I can't wait. We'll be clinking our wine glasses soon, I'm sure.
All right, mate. It's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me, and I'm
sure.
So see you, everyone, and we'll speak soon.
Take care, everyone.
Cheers.
Bye now.
Bye. Today's podcast was brought to you by the good people at Alchemy.
Alchemy's on-demand digital interviewing application connects job seekers directly with your company.
See your candidates eye to eye before you meet them face to face.
And to get your demo, visit alchemy.com. That's alchemy.com. We help you pinpoint top talent faster and tell them Tarpod sent you.
Thanks for listening to Tarpod. Please don't forget to subscribe and look out for upcoming podcasts.
Hold on, he's pressing buttons and shit.
It's all right, it's working. I like to see that screen.
Yeah, he likes to see the timer. It's like a bomb going to go off. I've got this many minutes to defuse the bomb.